This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back, Hour 2, What's On Your Mind, Tuesday edition, 10th of August, a third of the way through the month of August already. But a June and July, guys, is that like 6 minutes long? I mean, what is going on? Hey, we're brought to you by our friends at University of Mary. You Mary, by the way, congratulations, number one, numero uno, ranked number one nursing program in the nation for the second time in 3 years. In the nation. The University of Mary's nursing program has been recognized for their standard of excellence by nursing's national benchmarking service, the mountain measurements. I tell you, the oversight, the expertise, they're amazing. 100% success rate. Hello? Each nursing graduate passed their certifying exam on the first try, 100% success rate. Find out more at umary.edu/nursing. Discover the finest nursing education in the nation at umary.edu/nursing. And I'll tell you, my young friend Paige, who's running track out of UMary, just so, I talked to her this summer, just so in love with the campus, the views, the location, the 24-hour dining that they've got available there as well is not a bad thing. So just love UMary. Check them out, umary.edu. Ron Ness in for Scott Hennon today. Great having you back, buddy.
Hey, thanks, Kevin. And I would say you talk about June and July, and here we are. We're talking about sports coming back online and starting. But if you didn't get your boat in the water enough this summer, or you didn't get enough suntan time, that's on you, because we haven't had much wind, and it's been all sun and no rain. So, you know, you've got a window here yet, but I need to start getting out and doing some shooting and scouting and stuff like that. It's been just too hot, so that's what I'm looking forward to. So that was really, really fun, Todd, with Congressman Armstrong, and it's just so great when the phones light up like that, and we get to hear what North Dakotans want. So very, very appreciative to all those callers, and now's your chance in the next hour to call in about other things we might care about in terms of North Dakota's energy industry, agriculture, and hunting and fishing, which we're going to get Jeb Williams here in the second half hour here. So with that, Mr. John, how are you? Are you with us, John?
Yes, I'm here, Ron.
Hey, John. John's a longtime friend of mine and really one of the great folks at the EERC who is always out there engaging in the energy issues and on the cutting edge. You've got, I think you've got about 250 scientists and just experts up at the EERC, John, working on North Dakota's and really the world's energy future. So, you know, you had a wonderful group of people in last week, and really the leaders in the energy world across North Dakota and other places. So, what were your takeaways from that meeting?
Well, Ron, I mean, it's always rewarding to have your customers, our legislative leadership, and, you know, strong representation from our executive branch. I mean, it's always fabulous to have all of those voices at this meeting that we unfortunately were unable to have in 2020. But so it was just delightful having all of those people here. I got to say, I think at one level, you've got a lot of enthusiasm and excitement because we're seeing our commodity markets recover. At the same time, I think we're seeing, you know, what was seen, you know, prior to now as a strong partnership with our federal government as one of concern about what our federal government's role is going to be in the development of resources here in the state. So I think we've gotten where there's a real focus on fuels as opposed to a focus on emissions. And so anyway, that's a big theme that was certainly my takeaway, Ron.
John, a couple of the things that we talked about, this country is really, built itself on cheap food in the world, frankly, cheap food, cheap energy, and, affordable housing. And some of the things that we're seeing in terms of the ability to continue to provide affordable, reliable energy. There were just a whole bunch of discussion, and maybe one of my frustrations is that the whole discussion now has swung all the way over to just carbon. Carbon, carbon, carbon. And the reality is we're going to have Commissioner of Agriculture on. We need carbon to grow plants and animals, and we need all of that. But we're starting to lose sight of making coal cleaner, of making more out of every oil well across the Bakken and the world. And in terms of what the U.S. is doing to supply our country, first of all, with food and energy, as opposed to just basically conforming people because with money and pushing them a certain direction. So from the EERC standpoint, where are you guys focusing your initiatives just in the terms of every single day making a better product and a better energy future?
Yeah, I appreciate that, Ron. I mean, you struck a chord there with me. You said, we really built the nation on, cheap energy, cheap food, cheap housing. And of course as you look at what that does, I mean, that's really what built the middle class. It's what made this American economy really the envy of the world, because all of that resource that wasn't focused on those staples of just our very human existence, became available as essentially disposable income. And, that's what really gave rise to, this huge American economic dream. And as you look at constricting that energy supply, either through needing to import it or by increasing its cost, energy, of course, is directly impactful to agriculture. And if you think about this, I mean, we haven't really seen the commensurate pressure on housing here in North Dakota, but it's starting. You see, we're not an island, and North Dakota's economy is very much a commodity focused economy. We had a panel last week where we had our coal mining industry, we had our oil and gas industry, and we had our agricultural industry represented. And arguably those are three real strong pillars of our economy. And primary sector economic activity is, back to the that word you mentioned, Ron, it's carbon intensive. So you use a lot of energy when you're producing those primary sector goods that ripple their way through the rest of the economy. So EERC for two decades now has really been focused on, what are the tangible things that we can do as suppliers of that commodity to continue to provide them at an economically attractive rate and manage our carbon. And, that's a lot of what we're doing is focusing on, means of maintaining, those critical goods and their flow to the global economy and doing so, with a lower carbon footprint.
John Haru is our guest. He's the Vice President of Strategic Partnerships at the EERC in Grand Forks. And John, one of the discussion topics is the energy future and how we seem to be wanting to force renewables to scale really probably before their time, and the impacts that will have not only on maybe the inflationary components of batteries, but I look at electric vehicles. So there's 1.72 million registered vehicles in the state of North Dakota. 266 of them are electric vehicles. And we are now, we've got folks from the Washington Post coming here next week, completely convinced that we're going to be all electric vehicles by 2030 or 2035, as the car manufacturers say. And what are North Dakotans going to do that are working in the oil and gas industry? What's the state of North going to do for revenues? And I'm looking at this like, there are three presidential elections. This administration has only been in office 7 months talking about this. There are roughly seven congressional elections. There's a lot of political winds that can change the direction of this country, and most importantly, it's going to be the American consumers if the costs go up faster than they're willing to agree. And can our grid handle electric vehicles? But same goes with hydrogen. The scalability of hydrogen takes a lot of energy, a lot of water to make that hydrogen, right?
Well, the the notion of hydrogen, I would say it's you could look at it as either a complementary or a competing platform to electric vehicles. Hydrogen has a lot of promise, but hydrogen doesn't exist two hydrogen atoms. Hydrogen is locked up in water. It's locked up in hydrocarbons. It's such as oil, gas, coal. And in order to liberate that hydrogen from wherever it's residing requires energy. So at the core of all of this is energy. Similarly, if we want to move into an electrically intensive transportation network, you know, we need to provide those materials that those batteries are constructed of. And
John, we're going to come back after these quick messages, but I just want to repeat, you said hydrogen does not exist. We make energy from other natural resources, and it takes a lot of energy, a lot of other resources to make hydrogen today, and we don't know what we would use it for. So great idea, but it's not here yet.
401-258-0580.
Let me introduce you to a couple of folks that can tell you more about the opportunities they have at ABC Seamless, where they are offering a $5,000 signing bonus. Scott Mollenkamp is the chief marketing officer. Tell me a little bit about Scott. When somebody walks in, you determine their skill set, as you said, simple as being able to read a measuring tape and throw a hammer. That's where you start. What are you going to make at that entry-level position?
Entry-level position right now, we're close to $25 an hour.
Folks, you get the $5,000 signing bonus. You get the starting pay at $20-some bucks an hour and get into those steps. That motivates me to say, I want to make 30, I want to make 25.
Our production teams are the best in the industry. There is nobody, and I mean nobody, that can make your house go from what it is to mind-blowing in our time frame. We show up on a Monday, we're there every day until the project's done.
What I need to do today to find out more about these opportunities.
Today, my personal cell phone, so I could use that one, but 701-293-5952. That number again, 701-293-5952. You can call or, if you prefer, text.
Nearly 4,000 people work at the lignite mines and power plants in North Dakota. They are your neighbors, your relatives, your friends, and they produce the affordable and reliable electricity that keeps the lights on 24/7.
The coal industry, that's what got me here.
My job at the coal mine was a blessing.
Almost everyone who lives in town is either in the coal industry or they're related to someone in the coal industry. Really, this community's heart and soul is in the coal industry.
It's the work that keeps you coming back, you know. There's not too many people in the world that get to do what we do. I'm Lee.
I'm Kate.
I'm a heavy equipment operator.
I work at B&I Coal in Center, North Dakota.
And I am Late Night.
Meet these workers and others by going to www.iamlignite.com.
Angie's List is now Angie. Summer is the perfect time to book your next home project. From lawn care to a new patio, Angie makes it simple to connect with pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
Guys, whale! Wow, whale!
Oh, that's a big whale. Okay, whale, whale, whale! Oh no, whale!
The tides can turn quick on the water. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered. Get a quote today in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com.
Well, at least it wasn't a shark, am I right?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
What's on your mind? 800-228-0550 is the number. Ron Nesson for Scott Hennin today. Todd Mitchell, I'm Kevin Flynn. We're brought to you by our friends at NDCES Wind Energy, North Dakota's most abundant and permanent natural resource. Wind Energy paid $10.6 million property taxes, $19 million to landowners. That was just in 2019. So 26 counties, 1,000 landowners, 3,400 employees stand united in wind energy. North Dakota's most abundant and permanent natural resource. You want more info? Go to ndforallenergy.org. ndforallenergy.org. We're also brought to you by our friends at PetroServe USA. By the way, guys, all the month of August, any size fountain soda, 49 cents. Plus today in Valley City, hot beef sandwich or chicken pot pie, meatball dinner in Harwood. 12th Avenue's got the Salisbury steak, 205 NP Avenue, tater tot hot dish, all homemade, by the way, all scratch. Glendon's got Swedish meatballs. I know what I'm doing for lunch. And Yulin has tacos today. Helping America fuel better, it's PetroServe USA. Ron Ness in for Scott Hennon. It is good to have you back. Lots going on today, my man.
Thanks, Kevin. We are, we've had a great morning with a lot of great North Dakotans making calls and guests. So we've got Doug Gorin and Jeb Williams coming up. So we hope your calls and questions will come to us at 1-800-258-0550. That's 1-800-258-0550. We're going to wrap up this segment with John Harju from the EERC in Grand Forks. John, there was a report out yesterday, and I have not read this, so your quick assessment of what the UN climate change report said yesterday.
I think the UN's report, and I've got to confess, I have not read the entire thing either. And of course, it's a monumental document in terms of its size. And I, you know, what I have looked at, Ron, is the press statement that the Secretary General of the UN put out. And essentially, I think the difference between this report and previous International Panel on Climate Change reports is, you know, they're using the words a code red for humanity. And, they've also gone on to state that the human impacts are unequivocally, the primary driver, which, you know, I think that's a big step for them to state that. They go on, at least in the Secretary General's comments, to, I think, unfortunately, focus precisely on specific fuels. And, you know, I think, as I've always said, we need to focus on emissions and not on fuels. If CO2 is what we're worried about, let's worry about CO2. And I'm very, very comfortable that we have great technology and great opportunities to manage our CO2 here in North Dakota. In fact, we are global leaders in not only policy, but also the technology to physically manage carbon dioxide. And, I'm excited about making some of these things that we've been working on for a very long time a reality. And, again, differentiate our products on the global market. Ron, you know that our friends at Red Trail Energy are in line to really be the very first people to deliver essentially a carbon negative ethanol to the West Coast. In fact, there's a public hearing coming up later this week to try to validate their carbon storage project out near Richardson. So EERC is very proud to have been working with Red Trail in the state of North Dakota in terms of validating this concept. But again, this is North Dakota products differentiating themselves in a global marketplace.
John, that Red Trail project really is first of a kind. It's a great project using a North Dakota oil drilling rig, utilizing our regulations that the 2009 legislature put in place, Industrial Commission permitted and approved process. And kudos to EERC and the Red Trail folks and Gerald Bachmeyer and that group. And this is really kind of the forefront of what the opportunity lies here in North Dakota. We need strong regulatory agencies. We need an attorney general that we have that's going to step up and say, hey, we got this in North Dakota federal government. You know, we've got the cleanest air, the cleanest water. We've got this here. We'll manage our stuff. But where's the next big steps for the state of North Dakota in terms of emissions reductions, doing what we can do?
Yeah, so the next big step is our electrical generating fleet, Ron. I mean, we've got some incredible projects that we've been working on there for a long time. Many of the listeners, I'm sure, have heard of Project Tundra. You know, we're delighted to have been working closely with all of our electrical producers, but in particular on Project Tundra with Minn Kota Power. And, you know, we're looking at a project that is on the order of you know, about 40 times the scale of the Red Trail project. And instead of delivering a low-carbon ethanol to the West Coast, what we would be doing is delivering a low-carbon electricity to the East, as well as to our own. As well as to our own electrical customers. So, you know, essentially this is zero emissions coal is where we're going. So, similarly, with the way that we're looking at, producing that zero emissions coal, we have the opportunity to take that carbon dioxide, Ron, and take it to your members' operations, utilize that carbon dioxide to improve our recovery of Bakken oil and gas from those existing wells that are already there, already drilled, and we'll sequester that carbon in the meantime, continue to produce that Bakken oil, and it, you know, it's so good for our economy. We know where our legacy fund has come from. This is one of those technologies that not only allows our coal producers and our energy producers to continue to do what they do so well, but it also allows us to continue to produce that oil and its tremendous economic impact to our state. So,
Johnny, you're exactly right, and it allows us to grow our wind energy. And I think the great question, and maybe this isn't an EERC question, but a North Dakota policymakers or the Lake Night Council, is how do we get the states to the east of us to accept zero carbon coal? And that's the challenge, is that we can do these things, we can benefit our entire economy and the world's energy future, but they're being trained to just not like coal and somehow have a myth that they're not getting coal today when they turn on their light switch or when they plug in their electric car.
Well, Ron, as I said a couple of times earlier, we need to focus on emissions and not on fuels. And, you know, if you're pro-climate, you cannot be anti-carbon capture and storage. Doesn't add up. The mathematics dictate that carbon capture and storage is an essential component of a low-carbon economy.
All right, thanks, John. I see the Cyber Symposium is back up on frankspeech.com, Todd.
I'm trying to find that out. I know OAN supposedly has a feed going from it, I guess. So,
John, we've got a lot to do in North Dakota, don't we? We've got the Clean Sustainable Energy Authority now that's up and about to get ramped up. But we've got a bright future here. We appreciate the help of the EERC and the great leadership. And North Dakota's going to be just fine. We've got to just keep moving forward. So thanks for being our guest today. And we'll be back with Ag Commissioner Doug Goring, or Jeb Williams. So let's talk hunting after these messages.
701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550, or text 701-226-8503. What's your mind? Right back, hang on.
At the University of Mary, we are truly military-friendly. Our admissions team has years of real-world military experience. We will support your advancement every step of the way. We offer scholarships, credit for your experience, and ensure you and your family receive all available military benefits. Classes start June 7th. Discover a true military-friendly community at the University of Mary at online.umary.edu/military.
My pals at Action Movers are now offering the lowest local move rate in North Dakota. It's the lowest advertised rate in 20 years. $99 an hour for two men in a truck. All you need to do is mention Scott. Not only the lowest local move rate, but the best movers in the state. They're professionally trained. They're background checked. Action Movers, North Dakota's best moving company since 1932. Family owned, veteran owned. Call now. 566-5532. 566-5532. Mention Scott to take advantage of this great offer.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Over 12,000 people in eight California counties are under wildfire evacuation orders from the Dixie Fire. The Dixie Fire, the second largest in California's history, was threatening Indian Valley homes Monday night. The fire has burnt more than 482,000 acres. New U.S. sanctions have been dropped against the leader of Eastern European country, Belarus. Dan Araki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
The White House is levying new sanctions against allies of Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko on the one-year anniversary of his disputed re-election. The Treasury Department announced sanctions Monday against 23 people and 21 entities that are linked to the regime and the violent crackdown on protesters following last year's elections. The statement also cited the forced landing of a passenger aircraft passing through Belarus's airspace so that police could arrest a prominent opposition journalist as justification for the new sanctions. Lukashenko said Monday at a press conference there was no need for sanctions as he was ready to negotiate with the West.
USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
You're on it. Brought to you by our friends at H.A. Thompson & Sons. Tell you, what can you do to prevent the spread of any virus, including the vid, other airborne viruses from spreading in your home or business? Well, unfortunately, we're living in a time right now where we're a bit hypersensitive to the viruses and their spread. But here's what you do. The IAQ air cleaning products from H.A. Thompson & Sons. I'll tell you, you put this stuff in, it's amazing. Amazing the percentages of what you can do when you get those air cleaning, when you get the kill viruses, the mold spores, all the odors, the bacteria. And once you get that done, what they do is they install it into your existing HVAC equipment. So it's just part of your home. The cold, the flu, the vid, whatever. If you want more information on how to get your indoor air quality up and start killing the viruses in your home, contact H.A. Thompson & Sons. Number 701-234-9889, 701-234-9889, online at hatandsons.com. They are a regional, high-quality plumbing, heating, air conditioning, mechanical contractor services, not only in Bismarck, but across the region, North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, and Montana. hatandsons.com. Ron Nesson for Scott Hennon today on What's On Your Mind.
Thank you very much, Kevin. We've got Jeb Williams, the director of the Wildlife Division at the Game and Fish Department, on the line. And first, we're going to move to Ryan in Aberdeen, South Dakota, with a quick comment about carbon capture technology. Ryan, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me, Ron?
Yes, I have you.
Let me stipulate first. I do not think that carbon capture is a bad thing at all, but I think there is an assumption that the climate change lobby has been acting in good faith, that their goal has always been zero emissions. And I think that this climate change report from the UN ought to really kind of put the lie to that. I think they really want to roll us back to pre-industrial times, and they won't be happy until they can get rid of gasoline, petroleum, and coal altogether.
Ryan, I think you are spot on, and it's something that we better watch in this country of ours. The producing states better work together, and it doesn't matter whether it's agriculture or energy. The state of Oregon's legislature put in a pre-1950s emissions target, and pre-1950s, Todd, is like, holy cow. So do we want to go back to the times of pre-1950s and the life expectancy, the impacts on all of us and what we had there? So we've got Well, Gene, and Gene, do you have a question on CRP? Jeb, are you with us out there?
I am.
Okay, Gene, you got time for one quick question on CRP.
Yeah, hi. I wanted to talk to Doug Loring about CRP, but he isn't on yet.
You give me your question, or I will ask the commissioner for him when he gets on.
Well, I bailed some CRP the other day for a neighbor, just a little bit of it. It was tall wheatgrass and Canada thistle. That's what it was. Now, the Department of Interior, U.S. and Fish and Wildlife, have scheduled some CRP in North Dakota to be burned to control chrome grass. Back in 61, we were putting up CRP. We were glad as could be if it had some chrome and some alfalfa in it, but now it's nothing but tall sweet grass. That has to be cut and baled literally before it heads to be any good for anything. So pass that on.
I got it, and don't start any fires south and west of Mandan, if you don't mind. So that'd be just craziness right now. So, Jeb, how are you? We've got a line full of questions, and thanks for being our guest, Jeb. We're gonna jump right into questions, if you don't mind. I know you've got an outlook for us. So, Ruger in Golden Valley has a question for Jeb.
I'm here and ready.
All right. Ruger, you got a question?
Yeah, I sure do. So last week or a week before, a guy called in was talking about pheasant numbers that are down, and I agree. Main thing I see that's taking these pheasants out on our farm is a bunch of hawks. My dad's out swathing, and he comes around the alfalfa field every time, and these hawks are swooping down, taking out 6-8 pheasant chicks. I mean, is there any way the Game and Fish could advocate for like a season to take some of these hawks out? Cause for the last 4 or 5 years, that's been just decimating our pheasants up there, and there's no cover for them. And now it's twice as easy for these hawks to pick these little pheasant chicks off and, you know, pheasant roosters for that matter, piles of pheasant feathers everywhere.
All right, Jeb, I've got the list of all the opening season dates. When's the hawk season going to be next year?
So, you know, it's a question that, you know, Jamie's asking that we hear, you know, from people, you know, a fair amount. And it's understandable. People get frustrated by that. The challenge out there is, I mean, there's, you know, obviously it's a federally protected bird, right? And it's hard for the, you know, Game and Fish to do that. And even for us advocating for it, I mean, there's so many different species of hawks out there, you know, that eat a variety of different things. And so for to just have an open season on hawks out there, you know, they're eating pheasant chicks, is that's going to be a pretty big lift that I guess I'd be surprised if the Fish and Wildlife Service would ever entertain that. But I understand people's frustrations, and on years like this when things are tough enough the way it is, that it does frustrate people. I had the same conversation with a buddy of mine back home this last weekend in the western part of the state. Is he was pretty frustrated when he saw it as well. So
okay, Jeb, give us a lowdown. I've got a list here just for our listeners. Tomorrow, August 11th, is the application deadline for pronghorns and for swans. So let's kind of rip through the list. We've seen some reports this past week on the waterfall. Obviously, with the water amounts down, the ducks and the geese, we're going to have some locals, but it's going to be pretty tough for the long term this fall, I suspect.
Yeah, there's no doubt, Ron. I mean, just kind of sum everything up. I'm not saying it's going to be a bad fall by any means, but it's going to be challenging. We all know that the habitat conditions, and due to the dry conditions in North Dakota, obviously it's going to have an impact on wildlife, too. I mean, you just can't go through a year that has been the second or third hottest, you know, dang near hottest on record, and the second or third driest on record without having some impacts on wildlife, too. And so we're currently doing our roadside counts with pheasant numbers. And overall, my guess is overall averages are going to be down. Now, the good news is there. We know there's some pockets out there that actually have received some rainfall throughout the summer to where things are better. And so there will be some pockets out there that I think are going to be, you know, some good prime areas. And then there's going to be some areas that definitely are going to be on the total flip side of that. So One of the things, though, Ron, I think is critical when we start going into the fall season, though, is that people need to pay attention to the daily fire index. There's a really good website out there, ND Response, that pools all the information together for all the different challenges basically going on in North Dakota. And, of course, wildland fire is one of those. So North Dakota Fire Danger Map is issued each and every morning, and it basically determines what the current conditions are in places and gives it a rating appropriate for those conditions. And the higher that rating gets, of course, the more restrictions are in place. And it's not just for hunters. It's for everybody out there. It's for people that are out there, sightseeing or bird watching or doing whatever. And so that's important, that if there's concerns out there with somebody smoking, okay, well, then they can just be in the cab of a vehicle smoking or in a house. Or there's no off-road travel, and that means for everybody. And so there's some things that people are really going to need to follow out there, because there's no doubt the sensitivities are really high due to the dry year, and I don't think there's going to be a high tolerance for people not using common sense out in the field this year.
Well, Jeb, we're going to go through cycles up and down in all of these various species, but I know that the fishing is just crazy up at Van Hook Arm right now. I had some reports yesterday. I called some of my landowner friends out in the southwest yesterday, and, where there was rain, the bird reports look good. And one of the things, and we've got some texts here coming in, and I saw this southwest of Mandan this weekend, a lot of fawns that just look so small. And is that a function of this dry, and along with that, we're seeing some of the hatches and the broods that are very small. So, and then Congressman Armstrong wanted me to make sure we talked about EHD. Has that been seen yet? That was a big issue last fall in areas that it hadn't been before.
Yeah, so I'll start with EHD and then talk about the fawn health and just the overall health of critters. But so EHD, so far, fortunately, we don't have a lot of reports yet. We actually have some. We have some documentation of EHD, but Ron, that's not out of the ordinary though either. I mean, each and every year we do have some instances of EHD. It's just the magnitude last year was probably as close to as high as we've ever seen it. And so we're hopeful that that's not going to be the same situation. And in my guess, it won't be, at least in the areas that we had it in such high intensity last year, but it is on the,
drives that EHD,
So the EHD is usually see EHD outbreaks bad in years when we have wet conditions early on, and then when it dries up in the fall in North Dakota, which it usually does, and then you end up having a lot of mud flat areas where water has receded, and which creates really good breeding habitats for the little midge that actually transfers the virus from critter to critter, or from livestock to deer, those different types of things. So then when you get those good conditions where you have the little no-see-em that actually is the transfer to that, that's most of the time what we see in those situations. And so the conditions that we have this year doesn't bode real well for a big outbreak like we, can see in other years, but we know it is. EHD is on the landscape, and it is something that we do have from year to year. It's the intensity is what differs.
Okay, how about those young fawns and young broods and the mule deer population in the Badlands and out west? What are we looking at there?
Yeah, I think that the fawn reproduction was there. I mean, we obviously had those that were going into fawning season this year in good health and good condition. They went through a very easy winter. The challenge now, though, of course, is that, the fawning period is extremely stressful period for the does. And if those fawns aren't, aren't nursing off of a healthy critter, that's going to impact their growth as well. And so, sometimes you do see that on really dry years where the habitat conditions are reduced enough to where it does have some challenges for adult deer. And certainly a year like this is one of those where we can see that. We saw antelope reproduction that was not real good, and unfortunately we were set up for
Jeb, thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining us today. We're gonna have you back as we enter into the fall and hunting seasons, and hopefully some moisture, so let's all get out and hunt this fall.
This is top. He's a North Dakota farmer and customer of High Plains Apache.
Advanced in boom height control and PWM nozzle control systems, everything just gets better every year, and that seems to be what drives guys to trade. You know, we run a couple different GPS systems. Raven stuff is factory installed. We actually do a plug-and-play with John Deere controls now, too. It's come in handy, and there's a lot of red sprayers on all green farms.
You can find High Plains Apache online at highplainsapache.com.
Hi, this is Andy Morag with Piper's Auctioneers, hosting these farm, retirement, and estate auctions in Steele, Fargo, Bismarck, Bowman, Norwich, Regent, Kenmare, and Turtle Lake, North Dakota, Glendon, Minnesota, and Sioux Falls and Worthing, South Dakota, featuring farm equipment, construction equipment, trucks, trailers, coins, toy tractors, guns, and more. Also, advertising deadlines are approaching on Piper's regional equipment auctions in Bowman, Steele, and Sioux Falls. Contact Piper's Auctioneers for more information. Full inventory and equipment details are available at pipers.com.
Emily Bivens is the executive director of the Jamestown Area Chamber of Commerce. Tell me your thoughts on ethanol and what impact that has had on your community there.
Midwest Ag Energy is locally here over at Spiritwood, North Dakota, which is really close to Jamestown. So Midwest Ag Energy and the entire ethanol industry in our region really help us create a prosperous business environment, and that is what helps our members grow and succeed. They produce 75 million gallons of ethanol here locally and process about 25 million bushels of corn here per year, and they directly employ almost 2,000 jobs here in our area. So their impact on our economy and our workforce environment is great. They help us create this prosperous business environment, which is what the chamber is all about, and they're very active in our chamber. They're very good chamber members, very good community members, and we're lucky to have them be a part of the Jamestown area.
Ethanol and agriculture are one, and building better communities. Find out more at ndethanol.org.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come
here.
On, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Oh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, and they make such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Bobby, happy Littleman is celebrating an 81st birthday today, born in this day 1940, but having passed away in 2003. So, a little extra Righteous Brothers. What's on your mind? Powered by Schwann Deere, GMC.com, where your warranty is for a lifetime. Those new Buicks, GMCs, and all those late model used vehicles, too. So even if you're an F-150 fan, for example, or whatever, shop, click, drive, and get yours at Schwann Deere, GMC.com. It is 10:30 before the hour, and Ron Ness is in for Scott Hennon. What's in your mind?
Well, thank you, Todd. We've got Ag Commissioner Doug Goring with us. And, Doug, we've got a short amount of time and so much to talk about. Welcome to the show this morning.
Well, thank you. It's good to be on. Thank you.
give us the big picture, Doug, on where we're at. I know everybody across North Dakota is very concerned about you know, our farmers and ranchers this fall and where we're headed. And I had a talk with a producer the other night, and you know, you can get through this year, right? But we got to get some grass growing next spring. We're going to need some. You know, he said we need 3 inches of rain sometime in September or October to rejuvenate these plants. So give us your thoughts on where we're at and where we're headed. And then we had a question on CRP that I'll ask you.
Yeah. Well, so there are parts of the state that are starting to, I mean, little pockets where they're hanging on. And it doesn't look too bad. It doesn't mean that we've recharged that soil profile. As you've alluded to, this fall, we're going to need that, especially for any of those grasses, that those plants that are actually going to have to go dormant. They need to be set up fairly well. The nice thing is within a few of those pockets, we've got some corn and sorghum growing. That's going to provide some feed and maybe even the ability to bale up corn stover. In other places, it's bad. I mean, I would contend that Burley County is an epicenter as well as McLean County. Those are probably some of the two hardest hit areas in the state. And when I say McLean County, I need to be a little bit broader. That kind of extends to the north and northeast. And again, there's pockets in there where there's been a little bit of healing, a little bit of recovery. Oh, but nowhere near what we really need to see out here in the ag community. We continue as a state to work on some issues with programs, and I just tell people stay tuned. We're trying to work through some details and go to the emergency commission.
The program that you have through the State Water Commission, where you're getting some funds available for, you know, water projects within pastures and cell grazing, and that seems to have been a real popular program.
It is. The Water Commission is actually funding two programs. One they run directly, which is a drought disaster livestock water supply program. That looks at wells, 50% cost share up to $4,500, pasture taps, water lines, things like that. Help you hook up to rural water systems. The other program that they're funding that we're administrating here is if people have to haul water to livestock, if they have to rent storage containers for that water once they get it there, even watering the livestock themselves, whether it's pumps and water lines, those types of things they can apply to us for. And it's been good that the Water Commission has been so responsive to the needs out there.
We had a question earlier, Doug, on regarding CRP and tall wheatgrass and Canadian thistle, and concern by some of the federal agencies that you know, those should not be allowed to be baled and used. And the caller said that, you know, it used to be the tall wheatgrass was something we tried to get to grow in some of these pastures and really that can be beneficial in really dry years. Yeah. Any thoughts about that program as a whole? Have they been cooperative in terms of getting out in those fields early?
That's, you know, that's actually a great question. So tall wheatgrass is actually part of the tall wheatgrass or the tall prairie grass here in the prairies. And it's native. It's good. It's salt tolerant. I mean, not as salt tolerant as some other ones. But it works well in different types of soil. I'm not sure why they would frown upon it. I guess I'm confused and concerned that they would. And if they're concerned about some of the noxious weeds that are growing out there, they actually need to be managed them and have them either baled up, managed mechanically or with the pesticide. And in some cases where it's viable, you could look at a biocontrol, but I'm really concerned sometimes that our federal agencies and sometimes even state lands are not necessarily managed appropriately when it comes to noxious weeds. And I wish they'd just be better neighbors in that respect.
Doug, as you look across the corn crop, it's just driving to Fargo and back a number of times through July, and it looked like the corn crop was recovering pretty good, but And now with this extreme heat, have you lost a lot of the productivity of that corn?
Yeah, there's been, so if you're driving down the interstate, it's actually pretty phenomenal what you see. And there's areas along there that got some rains, and it was just enough to keep that plant viable and alive and actually pollinate. If you get off the beaten trail, just get a couple miles in some cases off from the interstate, you're going to see corn that's only, you know, up to your elbow or your waist. And it didn't even have enough moisture to pollinate, to even pop the tassel out. That's stuff that producers are now trying to evaluate and figure out what the nitrates are, and then work with livestock producers to either bale it up or silage it.
Commissioner, you've got a lot on your plate, and you're doing a great job. But keep at it. We appreciate you joining us today. And Todd, thanks.
Wind. It's everywhere in North Dakota. A permanent and abundant natural resource. An energy source we should harness. Wind Energy paid $11 million in property taxes and $19 million to landowners in 2019. 26 counties, 1,000 landowners, and 3,400 employees stand united in wind energy. Wind Energy, a permanent and abundant natural resource for North Dakota. For more information, see ndforallenergy.org.
It doesn't matter where you grew up or how many cattle or acres you own, farmers and ranchers are important to all of us. So are those running the elevators, the local vet, agronomists, county agents, and so many more. We're all working together to help agriculture flourish. That's the strength of NDFB. Working together for a common cause. We are the grassroots organization in the state. NDFB. Together we are your foundation for the future. Find out more at ndfb.org. ndfb.org.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.